Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the newborn King. Amen. Well, you know, it's the season of Christmas, and during Christmas time, a lot of times we meet people at different social gatherings. And whenever we do, many people mention that they struggle with names. In fact, most people will tell you that they're better at remembering faces than they are names. And I think that's probably true. Many of us recognize faces far better than we recall names. But when it comes to our relationship with God, it's a different story. God's name is much easier to remember than his face. For we know God by his many names in the Bible: Yahweh, Savior, Lord, Triune God. Other names for God come to mind as we think about Christmas: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yes, we know God's names, and yet no one has ever seen God's face. This is because God is an invisible spirit. As a spirit, God has no visible shape, no physical form. God doesn't have a body like we do. So God has no physically identifiable facial features. Since we have only known life inside this body, we have trouble comprehending a God who is a spirit without a body. To further complicate matters in our understanding of God, God isn't confined to time and to space as we are. For example, we can only be in one place at a time. Yet God is not bound by such human limitations. God can be and is everywhere simultaneously. While our life is finite and firmly fixed between two dates, the day we're born and the day we die, God does not live under such constraints of time. God doesn't live between these two points on a timeline. Time does not rule God, but God rules time. How very different from us. Our life passes quickly over a short span of time. And so we have trouble comprehending a being like God who has no beginning and no ending, but has always existed and will always exist. And this, among other things, makes the immortal God incomprehensible to mortal man. Beyond this, the Bible says that we can't see God because God dwells in an inapproachable light. Just think of trying to look into the sun in the bright noonday sky, and then think of a light 1,000 times brighter than the sun. You wouldn't be able to look in the direction of God even if he were in front of you. So even if you were in close proximity to God, you still could not see his face. For the glory of God's presence would blind us and make it impossible. Besides this, no one in this life has ever seen God in his full and radiant and majestic glory. Nor would you want to, even if you could. For coming face to face with the living God in his full glory is lethal to man. In the Old Testament, any sinner who encountered God in his full glory immediately killed over and died. And so it would be fatal for sinners to stand in the visual presence of God. For God's holiness and his righteousness accentuate our unholiness and unrighteousness. And so the fear and the guilt that would result from being in such an encounter with God would surely kill us. And this fact caused the greatest awe and respect and reverence for the Lord God among his people in the Old Testament. Yes, there were a few exceptions in the Old Testament, where certain chosen men, like Moses, were able to look upon God without dying. But these few chosen prophets who saw God and who survived that experience really weren't seeing the Lord in his unveiled glory. For although the Bible says they saw God, what they were in fact seeing was a toned down and tamer version of God. On these very few occasions when God did reveal himself to his prophets or to his people, you see, God accommodated himself. He knew our weakness, and so he concealed part of his glory and diluted its strength. In the past, the Lord revealed himself in many ways in the Old Testament. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel and to Jacob and to Joseph in dreams. The Lord revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush and then up on Mount Sinai. There, however, you recall, Moses only saw God's backside as God passed by. During the 40 years in the wilderness, the people of God saw God as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God revealed himself to Ezekiel in a vision, to Elijah in a still small voice, and to Abraham, God appeared in human form along with two angels who accompanied him, who also appeared as men. This is what the scripture meant when we read at the beginning of the service today. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers at many times and in various ways. But none of these ways in which God revealed himself prior to the coming of Christ were adequate to truly show us God, and more importantly, to show us what was in God's heart. But beginning with Christmas, God revealed himself in a most remarkable way. For the first time ever, God not only had a name, but God also had a face. And God has revealed himself to you in the face of Christ. In John's gospel, we also read a few moments ago, no one has ever seen God except for God the one and only, that is the one and only begotten Son, who is at the Father's side. He has made God known. In the birth of Jesus Christ, God not only revealed his face to sinners, but also his feelings to this lost world of sinners. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save us, the world, through him. God could have appeared on earth in a great show of force, and he could have crushed sinners and the rebellion against him, and forced us into servile obedience. But it probably would have killed us. And that's not what God wanted. So instead, God revealed himself on Christmas to us as a newborn baby, gentle and mild. For God did not want you to be afraid of him. God did not want you to run any further away from him, but to return to him. God wanted you to feel safe to approach him. And my friends, what is safer? What is less intimidating than a baby? And so the birth of Jesus made God understandable. and gentle enough so that we could get our hearts and our hands and our heads around the concept of God. Before the first Christmas, before the incarnation of God in human flesh, God was incomprehensible to us. For God was God and we were but men. But by taking on our human nature, God would no longer be distant and foreign and remote and alien to us. For now God is with us. He is one of us in a way that helps us to grasp God and his good and gracious intentions for our lives. This is what the first chapter of Hebrews means when it says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He has spoken to us through his Son. God will from this day forward never come up with another way to reveal himself to us except through Jesus. God will never come up with a better plan or a newer plan than the plan that would take his Son from the cradle to the cross in order to spare us the punishment that we all deserved because of our sins. Yes, Jesus is God's final revelation of himself. There will be no other word. Jesus is God's final word on the subject of sin and grace. Everything that you need to know about God comes wrapped in swaddling clothes and can be found lying in a manger. Many people are skeptics, and judging from scientific methods, they say that they won't believe in God until some persuasive, some powerful, some personal encounter with God happens so that they will believe. What they are saying is that they want to go back to those days when God spoke to men through dreams and visions or wonders and signs. They think somehow that they need or want to experience the power of God up close instead of reading about it in the pages of Scripture. But my friends, I'm telling you this. You do not want to meet God in a face-to-face encounter with him apart from Jesus. For if you do, you will be standing before the God of the law and not the God of grace and undeserved love that we know in Christ. And if you prefer this God in his other form, apart from God in Christ, then when you meet him, he will have no choice but to destroy you. For apart from the revelation of God in Christ, the Bible says God is a consuming fire, that God is ready to pour out his wrath upon sin and sinners. And it also says that it is a dreadful thing for sinners to fall into the hands of an angry God. Believe me, it is much safer to meet God in this humble mystery as the God who became flesh and blood in Jesus, to live among us, to die in our place, and then to rise from the dead to bring us eternal life. My friends, in these last days before God returns, God has spoken one last message, and that has come through his Son. God has absolutely no desire to communicate with the world apart from Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ is God's final revelation to the world. about himself. There will be no other signs God gives that we follow. But this is the only sign from God that you should ever pay attention to. It was the sign given to the shepherds when they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And these were the words. This will be the sign for you, that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The real good news of Christmas isn't just that the birth of Jesus Christ was God's last subject on the word of salvation or his final revelation. The joy of Christmas is that our brother Jesus reveals a Father God who is loving and gracious to sinners. God is so loving. God is so gracious that he sent his Son into the world to die for those who did not love him in return. And remember that Jesus is not only the revelation of God. Remember that this baby that was born in Bethlehem is also the embodiment of God's love for you. On Christmas Day, it was not only God who now had a face to go with a name. But on Christmas Day, God had also given love a name and a face. And love's name in its purest form is Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.